Thank you, Charlie. It's a special weekend for Americans, and we need to never forget that. Always remember those who have given their all for this wonderful country in which we live. And as I was preparing a sermon, I decided what I would do is I would have someone come and sing so you would have something good to remember. And this is my friend Mike Picklesheimer, who does an exceptionally great job with his voice. God gave it to you, Mike, and you'll agree with that. But he loves to sing for our Lord. And not only that, he's a great friend of mine. So, Mike, I'll turn it over to you now.
I do want to thank everybody for allowing me to be here and to sing for everybody. It's a great honor. It really is. The song today is about the Statue of Liberty, but it also ties it into our Lord Jesus Christ.
York Harbor stands a lady with a torch raised to the sky, and all who see her know she stands for liberty for you and me. I'm so proud to be called an American, to remain with the brave and the free.
Thank you, Michael. Good job. Wonderful song. Wonderful song. You know, it's kind of difficult to fill in for a godly man like Shan standing behind this pulpit, let me tell you. He's been preaching longer than I've been alive. That was for you, Dick. And I know he'll be listening to it, so he'll be after me next Sunday. He's a great man of God. And you might think he's taking the Sunday off, but no, not Shan Rutherford. Uh-uh. He's down south in Knoxville, Tennessee, preaching down there today. So, and it's not a trial sermon, so don't get worried. It's not a trial sermon. He's just preaching for his son and his grandson down there. And we look forward to him being back next Sunday. He's done such a marvelous job the last few Sundays of leading people to Jesus. And what it takes to really be called a Christian and to be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm going to try to expound on that a little bit, even though it's going to be difficult. But God's a great God, amen?
Amen?
Oh, let's do better than that. God's a great God.
Amen.
Amen. He's a great God. In other words, I might just say hot dog. That's for you folks who are visiting today and known me from previous ministries. There is no greater love in all of the world than the love that I'll be talking about today. Let's pray as we begin, shall we? Oh, Father, we thank you again for your love. We can't begin to fathom how much you loved us. Lord, we thank you for your willingness to come in our place. We love you more and more each day for that. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us new life in Jesus, and it is in his name we pray, Heavenly Father. Amen. Would you stand with me, if you're able to, for the reading of the scripture? I like to do this. I think it just shows a little bit of extra respect for God. Our scripture is taken from John chapter 15, verses 9 through 14. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy might be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Wow, isn't that some challenge? Love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. You may be seated. This is a solemn time for our nation. Our nation must once again become a God-fearing nation, or we will fall by the wayside as so many other nations have done in the past. We're celebrating 250 years of freedom for America this year. If we want any more years, we better be turning back to God, all of us. All of us better be turning back to God. This weekend, we pay tribute to those men and women who were willing to give their all for this great nation. And we must never forget about that sacrifice. But I'm afraid we're raising a group of people in America today who do not appreciate the sacrifice of those who have gone on before them. We need to change that. Ask me how, and I'll tell you, I'm not sure, other than we just need to share the love of Jesus and love for America. We just need to continually tell folks about that. We should always be thankful for those people who were willing to shed their life's blood so that we might have a day like today, Memorial Day, a day to remember. And not only to remember, but to be thankful as well. And this is a time of remembrance. And while we're remembering the sacrifice of all of those soldiers, all of those service people, men and women alike, we need to look at the greatest sacrifice of all, and that's Jesus, God's only begotten Son, so that we might experience the freedom that is not temporary, but that is eternal. All those folks who have died for us, it's a temporary freedom. And if we're not living for the Lord the way we should and living for God the way we should, then it may end up being taken from us. We need to repent as a nation and turn to God and follow His way, or the punishment might just be ours. For the Christian, our Memorial Day is every Sunday when we partake of the Lord's Supper. And I believe at the very center of this love for America and this love for God is that four-letter word, love. L-O-V-E. How much do you love America? How much do you love God this morning? 3 points, sticking with the way the preachers used to do it and still should do it, I think. I believe love is the key. Love is the key that unlocks the door that leads us to the Lord Jesus Christ and to God. America, you know, was founded in love. That's why people came here. It began with a love for freedom from suppression and tyrannical rulers. Long shackled by the burdens and suffering of unjust tyrants, people began to look to America as a place where they could not only be free, but also improve their living conditions. But those who came learned that freedom costs dearly. After all, as we've heard before, freedom isn't free, is it? It is not free at all. And even today, we are still learning the lesson of freedom. Many of us have had friends, relatives, family who have shed their life's blood so that we could live in this country. And by the way, folks, I have no doubt this is the greatest country that there is in the world. Some people would say, well, what about Israel? Oh, no. I think America is greater. I think America is greater because God has blessed America in a way that He hasn't blessed Israel. In many ways that He hasn't blessed Israel. Although He keeps His promise to Israel, and He will till the Lord Jesus comes back, He will keep that promise and praise Him for that. We need to be willing to sacrifice for America as well. No, freedom isn't free. And we should be praying for our soldiers serving every day of our lives for their safety. But most important, for their salvation. For their salvation. Have you ever given that much thought? Did you ever think about all those who have died before us and trying to give us our freedom? Were they saved or were they lost? What about the soldiers who are serving now? What about the ones you know in the service now? Are they saved or are they lost? How much do you love those people? We certainly pray for their safety, but do we pray for their salvation as well? Now, I want to contrast that to the church a little bit, all right, and to the Lord. Because the church was founded in love as well. On the day of Pentecost, and in great peril, Peter stood before throngs of people and preached of the love and grace of Almighty God. Not only that, but he told the story of Jesus, how Jesus came from heaven, lived this life in a perfect life, was battered and bruised and mocked and spit upon and everything bad that could happen to him for no reason. He didn't deserve any of it. And yet, he was willing to go to the cross for us. I'll never be able to fathom or understand why Jesus died for me. I know me even better than my beautiful wife knows me. I'll never be able to understand how he could love me that much that he would take my place on a cross and go through all the suffering that is, what tremendous grace that is, what tremendous salvation that is for we who accept him as Lord and Savior of our life. And just as Peter, when he preached that gospel message, that first gospel message, over 3,000 people came to the Lord on that day Wouldn't it be great to see that happen today? Wouldn't it be wonderful to see people coming to Christ? Well, they are. Our young people, hallelujah, hot dog, they're coming to Christ. On college campuses, in high school campuses, they're coming to Christ. People who are living in other countries beside America are beginning to come to Christ. The Bible tells us there's going to be a great awakening. There's going to be a great revival. I see that as beginning to happen now, and I praise God for that. But are you and I doing our part in sharing the Lord with people who are around us? That is so important. We want them to have eternal life, just as we have eternal life. We need to be soldiers of the cross, because the church is not just some organization like the Lions Club or the YMCA, and all those organizations are good. I'm not putting them down. But the church is not an organization. It's a body. It's a body of believers who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, who lean upon Him, who share in His love and grace, and who will take that love and grace to people who are around them so that they might have that same love and grace in their lives. No, the church is not an organization. It's the body of Christ. And we have been commissioned to go to the lost, to the dying world, and tell them about Jesus. That's how we lead them to the Master. That's how we lead them to salvation, is through our love that God has given us. And you might say, well, Larry, I don't love some people. Y'all, you better. That's all I got to say. Or those people might miss you in heaven when you don't make it. The Bible says that we're to love everyone. It doesn't say we have to like them. Oh, thank you, Lord, for that. Because there are occasions when it's mighty difficult, mighty hard to love someone or to like someone who is mistreating you. That's tough. We can still love them. I always say it this way. I love them for their soul's sake, but I don't like the way they're acting. But we must continue to love them. That's what Jesus wants us to do. We lead people to Christ through love. Secondly, I believe that love is the greatest. It's not only the key, but it is indeed the greatest. Soldiers have loved America enough to sacrifice their lives for it. I believe the main reason they were willing to sacrifice was because they loved America. They loved their family. They loved their friends. They loved their neighbors. And they loved this wonderful country in which we have had the opportunity to live all of our lives. They endured the suffering of war, and many laying down their lives, shedding their blood because they loved America and what America stands for. Approximately 2 million men and women in our armed services have given their lives from the time of the Revolutionary War to the present day global war on terror. And it would seem that this number is changing almost daily. And almost half of those were lost in the Civil War. That's hard to imagine, isn't it? Brother against brother, dad against son. That's hard to imagine. But almost half of them, over 600,000 Americans lost their lives fighting with each other. In a real sense, we're at war now as well. You and I are in a spiritual battle, my friends, for the souls of mankind. And the Bible does call us soldiers of the cross. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12 says, we are fighting against the rule and the reign of darkness in this present world. It's imperative that we are faithful to the cause of Christ and have a willingness to share the gospel with everyone. It's so sad that we are living in a day in which people are forgetting the cost of freedom, and instead are thinking only of themselves instead of the good of others. The second greatest commandment is what? Can somebody tell me? What is the second greatest commandment? That's a question to you. You can go ahead and answer it. I know how Shan feels now when he says, that's right, Shan, go ahead. What is the answer? Love your neighbor as yourself. That's why soldiers were willing to commit their life's blood because they love their neighbor as themselves. Jesus loved everyone enough to die for them as well. We know John 3:16 by heart, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God created man in love, and when man fell away, God, through his disobedience, God ransomed man through the shed blood of his Son, Jesus. Our text tells us of the great love that caused Jesus to be willing to die for us. Now, I said something wrong there. I didn't say it wrong. I didn't say it correctly. God did not sin. Okay. I don't want you to get that wrong. The way I said it, kind of, did it do that, Susan? My greatest loving critic will tell me about it afterwards. So I'm correcting it ahead of time. And I appreciate her doing that. God did not sin. But in his love, he took we who did sin and allow us to come to know him as our Heavenly Father. That's what I'm trying to say. God demonstrates his own love for us, toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That, my friend, is true love. That's found in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. Because you see, soldiers are willing to die for their friends, for their family, for their country. But Jesus was willing to die for his enemies. You get that? Who were Jesus' enemies? Raise your hand if you were ever an enemy of Jesus. Oh, go ahead and stick them up, folks, because you were. And so was I. No longer, praise God for that. But at one time, we were lost in our sin, and therefore we were enemies of the Most High God. But Jesus came and died on a cruel cross so that we could have eternal life. Boy, if that don't light your fire, then your wood's all wet. God loved us that much. He was willing to die for us. Jesus came and shed his blood. That's true love. Jesus was willing to die for us, not because we are worthy of his death, or even because we asked him to die for us, because we didn't. He was willing to do it because he loved us. How much do you love the person sitting beside you? How much do you love the person sitting in front of you, or the person who sits behind you? How much do you love the person who checks you out at the grocery store and totals up that figure that's way too high? How much do you love that person that sells you gasoline that's way too high? How much do you love all people? Jesus wants us to love everyone just as he loved us. That's a big challenge. But it's a challenge that you and I can meet because his love is in us. Couldn't do it without that. I'd be hating most people. I wouldn't be standing, if I stood in this pulpit, I'd be bawling you out probably because you weren't like me. But you see, God has placed his love in me, and now we're the same. We're creatures who fail God, but who found Jesus, and who love him with all of our heart. And now he places his love in us so that we can share it with the people who are around us. Many soldiers have given their all so that we could enjoy freedom that is temporary, just for a short while. But Jesus, God's only Son, gave his all to save all who would believe in him and obey him so that we might have it all forever in heaven. Jesus has changed all of us from darkness to light because of his great love. Finally, I believe that love is proven in obedience. Love is proven through obedience. Good soldiers must obey their commanders. I was never in the armed services, but I have a wife. Let that sink in. You'll catch it after a while. I'll pay for it, but you will catch it after a while, especially you men, all right? I was never in the armed service, No, Susan and I see things eye to eye. Most of the time. Most of the time. I'm getting myself digging deeper and deeper here. I'm getting out of that foxhole. Good soldiers obey their commanders. When someone enlists in the military, they must swear or affirm their allegiance to the United States of America. For those of you who were in military, you probably remember making that pledge. We thank you for that. But even more importantly, we thank you for keeping that pledge. You did exactly what you said you would do. And we honor you and we thank you for doing that. I'm sure it was not always easy for you, yet you carried out that duty because of your oath. And again, we thank you for doing that. I'm sure that thousands of men and women in our armed forces have died, not because they wanted to die, but because they made a promise and were willing to fulfill that promise and be obedient even to the point of death. They were willing to pay the ultimate sacrifice because they loved this great country. They sacrificed it all for us to be free. Because you see, obedience has always been a mark of love. Jesus obeyed his Father, and may I say, so should we. We should obey our Heavenly Father as well. In John chapter 6 and verse 38, we read, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me." That's what Jesus said. I've come to do my Father's will. Are we here today to do our Father's will? If we are, then we're going to love people, and we're going to love people to Jesus Christ. Jesus obeyed the Father every once in a while. No, Jesus obeyed the Father every time. Always he obeyed his Father. We should do the same. He came to earth to obey his Father's will, and he accomplished this perfectly. Obedience has always been a mark of love. Jesus loved his Father enough to die, and Jesus loved us enough to die for us. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 8 says, "And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross." And Jesus points out in John chapter 14 and verse 15 that if we truly love him, we will be obedient to him. He says there, "If you love me, you will obey what I command." So my conclusion is that obedience to Jesus is a mark of our love for Jesus. How much we love is evidenced by how well we keep Jesus' commands. If we would take the time to examine ourselves, and that's what we should do each time we partake of the Lord's Supper, isn't that what it says? Examine yourself so that you'll be taking it in the proper fashion. If we would take the time to examine ourselves, we would know how much we truly love Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And by the way, he can't be your Savior if he's not your Lord. It's just that simple. We owe allegiance to him. We need to be living loving and holy lives as faithful soldiers of the loving Heavenly Father that we have. In conclusion, it's always the two words people like to hear. We need to remember the sacrifice of our soldiers. I pray that we never forget the sacrifice that they have given. We need to give thanks to God for those brave heroes and their families. We should be forever grateful as we consider their extraordinary sacrifice. Most importantly, we need to remember the sacrifice. Would you go ahead and put the screen up just for a few moments? You see, we need to give thanks to God for the extraordinary sacrifice of his Son and our Savior. And the best way we can do that is living for him in holiness and love. Mike, I want to just take the latter part of the song that you sang for us so beautifully this morning. But I'm not going to sing it, so you all can be thankful. I want you to hear the words once again. Don't look at me. Look at the cross, if you would, as I read these words. On lonely Golgotha stood a cross, with my Lord raised to the sky. And all who kneel there live forever, as the saints can testify. And I'm so glad to be called a Christian, to be named with the ransom and whole. As the statue liberates the citizen, so the cross liberates the soul. Oh, the cross is my statue of liberty, for it was there that my soul was set free. Unashamed, I'll proclaim that a rugged cross is my statue of liberty. Now listen, unashamed, I'll proclaim that a rugged cross is my statue of liberty. I think that begs this question. Do we love God and obey Jesus enough to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with those who are around us? Are we faithful enough to Jesus? Are we loving enough of God and all of His blessings? Not just the country in which we live, our family, our friends, everything we have is because of Jesus. Everything good we have is because
of
God.
Are
we
thankful
enough to Him? Are we ashamed to tell people that we're a Christian? I used to ask people, one of the most heartbreaking things I'd ever ask somebody was when they were working, and I would say to them, well, how many other people are Christians? I don't know. How come you don't know?
What?
I don't ask them. You have the opportunity to be one of the greatest missionaries for the Lord Jesus Christ on the face of this earth, and you don't ask those people you work with whether they're saved or lost. Unashamed, I'll proclaim that cross and the one who died on it for me. You know, it starts the moment that we accept Jesus Christ and give our life to Him. It starts at that moment we accept Jesus as Lord and as Savior. But it doesn't end there, my friends. It continues on. And the older we get, the more mature we should be in Jesus Christ. Do you have a family member who's outside of Jesus? How many times I've gone to the hospital, family member was there of a person who was in the church where I preached, and I would ask this simple question. Do they belong to the Lord? Are they Christian? I don't know. Wow. My friends, we're going to have a lot to answer for someday. I'm not saying you're going to go to hell. I wouldn't say that. Absolutely not. But I am saying this. If you love your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister, your aunt, your uncle, your child, your niece, your nephew, whomever it might be, if you truly love them, you will know before the sun sets tonight whether they belong to Jesus or not. Well, I pray for them, preacher. That's great. Hallelujah. Pray for them. Continue praying for them. But talk to them about Jesus. It's not so hard to talk to them about America, is it? It's not hard to say, boy, I'm glad that I live in America. I'm glad that I live in the home of the free and the brave. What about the life to come?
What about heaven?
What about hell? They're real. And they're not temporary. They are forever. And if you don't belong to Jesus today, sitting in that pew, you need to run down that aisle and give your life to Jesus Christ. If you know someone who's outside the saving grace of Jesus, call them on the phone. Please, call them on the phone. Go by and visit them. Talk to them about the most important decision they will ever make in their life. You made it. Unashamed. Unashamed, I'll proclaim that a rugged cross is my statue of liberty. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, as we approach the throne of grace once again today, we thank you because we have been permitted and allowed to live in what we believe to be the greatest nation, at least what I believe to be the greatest nation in all the world. I thank you for that. I can't praise you enough for that, for the freedoms that we have here in America. But even more importantly than that, I thank you that I know that one day I'll live in a much better country. I'll live with you in heaven. And that's not bragging, Father. That's thanking Jesus for all that he has done for me. I pray today that if there's someone outside the saving grace of Jesus, they'll walk down that aisle, run down that aisle, come into the arms of Christ, and be all that he wants them to be, so that they might have a freedom that is eternal and a life that was filled with love forever. Whatever decision needs to be made today, Father, would you give us the courage to make it? And we thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Our hymn of decision today is, He Touched Me. What a wonderful song to sing. He touched me. If Jesus has touched you, would you please touch someone else with Jesus? Let's be standing and singing. If you have a decision to make, now's the time to make it. Shackled by a heavy burden, 'neath a throne of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. He touched me. Oh, he touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me Since I met this blessed Savior, since he cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise him. I'll shout it while eternity rolls. He touched me. Oh, he touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. And all God's people said, Amen. Hallelujah. Hot dog. Hot dog. Oh, I'm tired. Part of being old, I think. I'm looking forward to next Sunday when Chan will be back. And I get to hear a good preacher for a change. Folks, let me tell you, pray for Chan. Pray for his wife. Pray for his family. Preachers need it. Probably more than anyone else does. I lived years of ministry ready to quit on Monday morning. It's a tough job. And it's more than a job, it's a life. So pray for them, that they will continue to be faithful. Bless them in any way and every way you can bless them, because they're a great couple for the Lord. And may I say, Samaria Christian Church is a wonderful church. You love the Lord with all of your heart, and that is so evident in so many different ways. And Susan and I are happy to be a part of that. Our son and daughter-in-law and three of her grandchildren are here today. And I just wanted to give a little report. Hannah, correct me if I'm wrong, Hannah, but I think you're doing a little better. She's not as sick as she was there for a while, although she gets sick from time to time. She's not getting fat like her father-in-law. She could fatten up a little bit, but she's not doing that. She gets to have another clinical trial treatment coming up June 2nd, I believe. Pray for her then. I don't know whether you know anything about her or not, but when they put the radiation in her, then she's got to stay away from her family for a week. So can't get close to them. So pray for my son as he sleeps on the floor. No, he sleeps on the couch for about 5 days, and then he's back in the bedroom sleeping on another place for a couple of days then. But pray for them. We appreciate all you've done for them in your prayers. Our grandson, Drew, left ear, he's hearing better. Right ear, cochlear implant is working tremendously. So I know that he's looking forward to going back to college and being a part of that. So that's enough of that, other than to say that my wife and I have been together for 56 years now. Our anniversary was on the May the 15th, I think it was. And I know it was. That's really going to get me in trouble. I know it was on May 15th. But we just so appreciate all of you all. All of you all. That was under a timeout, by the way, Carol. All of that was under a timeout. Continue to pray for everybody on that prayer list and everybody you know. Don't forget our service people and pray for salvation. I remember Shan said that not too long ago. He said, we pray for the sick, but are we praying for their salvation? Pray for people to become Christians, to follow Jesus. Let's close in prayer, shall we? Lord Jesus, we're grateful. Another day has come and where we can come into your house and worship you in spirit and in truth. And I pray, Father, that your word would touch our hearts, all of our hearts, especially mine. Thank you, Father, for your grace, your mercy, your love, your devotion to us. And I pray, Father, that we might be devoted more to you than we've ever been before. Thank you for the country in which we live. Thank you for Jesus, and it is in his name we pray. Amen.
There's been witness fame with glory, with the angels I will sing.
Could be a song with glorious harmony, with the chords of heaven ring. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody with heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody of love.
God bless you. Have a great week.